brewing is as much about the process as it is about the product. At its most satisfying, brewing creates a culture and a community that goes beyond beer geekdom to make deeper connections. It's about learning, sharing, and creating. It's a touchstone that can make people who've never met instantly friends. Beer with Strangers starts now.
Welcome to episode 96, here comes 100, of Beer with Strangers. I'm your host, Tony Russo, and I'm joined this week once again by official pinch hitter, Sean Hager.
Hey, guys.
All sorts of fun stuff this week. I spent the better part of yesterday talking to a guy who's going to be giving a presentation here in 2 weeks, and we're going to spend some time on that. Real quick up front, my book is out. You're welcome to buy it on Amazon. If you'd like, you can buy it on surecraftbeer.com. You can get a picture of Sean in the book. Patty marked the page with you on it.
Oh, okay. See, I'm gorgeous.
Yeah.
So if anything, you can buy the picture. You can buy the book, and I'll sign it.
Well,
don't worry about Tony. He's not.
That actually happens. Lots of people. There you go. Lots of people will bring it into the breweries and have the brewers sign it and stuff like that. The brewers get a huge kick out of it. But also, if you care to, you can get it at surecraftbeer.com. And if you do that, I can personalize it. So you can put on a little note and say, you know, when you send this out, say, you know, dear Aunt Susie, you know, keep drinking great beer or whatever. I usually write keep drinking great beer. This time, I think I'm going to write drink what you like and be happy.
Yes.
I think that's what I'll put as my like standard.
There you go. That's your.
Yeah, because we came up with that on the show. So that'll be the.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you want to get the book, you can get it at Surecraft Beer. You can get it at Amazon. You can get it at your local bookstore. Or you can come to an event. I'll be at Blue Earl tonight, and I'll be at Dewey Beach tomorrow. If you want to come out, I'll be at Dewey at 6. And we'll be doing a live podcast, the sub-podcast of the Beer with Strangers.
Talking about Dewey Brewing?
Dewey Beer Company. That's what it's called. I have this other show that I've been doing as a sub-podcast to this, and I've been calling it The State of the Beer, which is what the website that we used to be on. So what I'll do is I interview brewers during the week and I post that like as a midweek podcast in like support of this main podcast. And so you can check me out in Dewey, you can check me out in Smyrna, or you can check us out here as you've been doing. And thank you so much for sticking around. So let's talk about the Grainfather. Let's just.
Okay. So Grainfather is made by parent company Still Spirits. I'm pretty sure.
It's Australian.
New Zealand.
Kiwi. Sorry.
Close enough.
Don't they get mad?
Yeah, just don't tell them. But so what they did was originally they had a still called the Turbo 500, and it was a stainless steel boiler underneath with a 120-volt heat element, and then the top would be whatever distilling column you want. Well, they decided that, hey, well, it works for this. Well, how about we make it into an all-grain device? And so what they did was they incorporated a temperature controller, a grain basket, a different kind of lid, a pump, and things like that. And it allows you to do all grain brewing, which for those who've never brewed, there's basically extract brewing, which uses barley sugar that's been
already
extracted and brought it back to you. This, you actually use malted barley straight up, crushed, and put it all in there. It allows a consumer who either doesn't have a lot of space to brew, or someone who's just looking for something a little easier, a little less heavy. You might just be tired of fighting.
I went out yesterday. I wanted to get his name right. I looked it up. It's Buoni?
Boney.
Boney. Sorry. Yep. So I went to Michael Boney's house, and he has this. Have you been?
No, I haven't been to his house.
Oh, it's so awesome. He's got this great setup. He had a shed built.
Mm-hmm.
His whole. It looks like this room. It's just in a shed. It's a little bit smaller.
Uh-huh.
And he is thrilled with this piece. And I'm trying to find a way to talk about it and not sound like it's 3 o'clock in the morning and we're on QVC.
Right. Yeah.
But he's so excited about it. It's just, so he's not an accomplished brewer. He's an accomplished yeast guy. He captures and uses his own yeast.
Yes.
We talked about that a lot.
He's a biochemist and also a teacher at Dell Tech.
UDell, yeah.
Yeah.
But he makes yeast, which is cool.
Yeah. Actually, he was telling me that he went around his yard and was walking his dog and just had a yeast trap out and was able to actually find a Saccharomyces strain that has not been known about. He's trying to prop it up so that it can actually ferment.
I think that's what I had yesterday.
have almost a licorice taste is what he was saying.
You know what? Then it wasn't what I had yesterday. Okay. The one I had yesterday was practically was Belgian-y.
Oh, okay.
It was a local yeast.
Oh, yeah. That definitely could have changed then. Last time I talked to him about that yeast was a few months ago. Oh, yeah. So I'm definitely intrigued to see how that comes out. I would love to make a beer with a...
Well, I very, very exciting things. I'll tell you about the yeast real quick and then we'll get back. He makes like his beer, the beer itself wasn't great, but it wasn't supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So he makes a beer without a lot of flavor.
Yes.
So we can taste what the yeast tastes
exactly.
like with the beer.
So you know how to use it in the future.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very exciting, but I tasted it and it was very, you know, a little banana, almost a little sour. So like,
a little bit of like a tart saison taste.
You could taste the wildness in the yeast, I think.
Oh, that's good.
So, I don't know because my palate's not what it could be. But,
oh yeah, no, me either.
But what I said to him is, I'm like, oh, it could be a little bit. It's got a little bit of the sour and it's got a little bit of citrus. Mm-hmm. It's all sorts of really, really fun flavors.
Oh, that's awesome.
Looking forward to seeing his real beer with that.
Yeah.
But. Back to the grandfather. So he's, again, the reason I said this is because he's not an accomplished brewer. He's been at it, I guess, full-time 3 years now.
Yeah,
so.
As a
He did it when he was a kid, mm-hmm. and now he's doing a home brewing all the time. And he's got this great setup, and he said that he can't imagine ever going back to the other.
Yeah, and that's what I was, you know, it's so easy to use, and it's so compact and all that. And it's not like there's another one out there called, like, the Pico Brew. And nothing
that's
against,
like a coffee machine.
Yeah, basically. You put grains in little pockets and it just does everything. This, you still got to go through those steps.
You have to brew. You have to know what you're doing. Don't get this for your first.
No. But it makes a lot of the physical part of brewing significantly easier. The hardest part about it really is picking up the grain basket and turning it 90 degrees so it sits back down and drains.
Yeah.
Other than that, there's nothing to it. I've sold two of the grandfathers. And the reason we got one of my customers said, hey, can you get these? I said, sure.
Yeah.
He's like, well, get me one. Okay. And then when I got one in, I got two so people could see it, and Mike grabbed the second one.
Right.
So what I'm hoping is that we get customers to come out, see the equipment in action, decide if it's a worthy investment for them, but also be able to teach people how to do all grain because it does do all the same steps.
And it's I think he said he does it in 4 hours.
Yeah.
Instead of six, because we usually
typically
six,
by the time
five
I get
or six.
5 or 6 hours by cleanup and all this. And to clean this thing, I mean, you just
hose
dump
it down, yeah.
Spray it with a hose. That's it.
And so. what I was really interested in was the cooling mechanism that
it comes with its own counterflow wort chiller, which if you don't know what that is, wort, unfermented beer, but still hot, goes on the inside. There's a tubing inside of a tube. The beer goes on the inside tube and cold water goes on the outside tube and it extracts the heat from it.
He said that's where you save the time. He said because I'm looking, there's one here. You can, if you've ever seen anyone homebrew before, they'll put a piece of copper in the beer,
mm-hmm.
and then run cold water through it to bring the temperature
yes.
down. And that works and that's fine, but this works almost immediately, he said. And what the upside to that is that if you're trying to do something complex with flavors and stuff, like if you need to get it to 75 degrees
yes.
as soon as possible, there's no faster way to do it.
Right. And it gets you time to get your yeast in the beer sooner, which is great. And with the pump that it has, you just run it right into your fermenter. There's no fight in the bucket to dump
it
in stuff.
It's everything. It's really like, again, I feel like Ronco. Like, I wonder if he really gets right. that excited about these things. Hey, speaking of devil.
Hey, look who we're talking about.
We were
get
just
in
talking.
Here.
Would you like yeah. to be on our podcast?
That is so weird.
Yeah.
Good. Very well. Good to see you.
Everyone, this is Mike Boney.
Come
around.
Step in behind.
Are you guys seriously?
Yeah, we're doing it right now.
This is
us. That's you. You're on the internet now.
That's awesome.
So what I was saying is I feel a lot like Ronco when I'm talking about how exciting this piece of equipment is, because we sat down and I'm like, you know, I don't want to make it sound like we're on CVS, you know, because we're not.
Yeah.
But I was talking about how when you're doing something more complex, you can get the beer, the temperature of the beer down a lot more quickly.
Inefficiency is I think the biggest objective measure that I've noticed. It is I like it because I can still be a home brewer. It's not too automated.
Right.
And I think some of the, I mean, my opinion, things like Pika Brew and stuff seem to be a little too, for me, a little too kind of throw it in and the beer, but you do everything. And, you know, being someone who is actually in the field of science for a career, you know, to be able to do, you know, create beer with all the, a lot of the variables removed that would normally cause issue.
Right.
That's what I like about it. Is that it, you know, it all happens in one place and it does give you more time. And for any of you guys who really, or girls who hate the fact that you have to watch your mash temp or what, you don't have to.
That's
you
what we can were do just about things. To get to because the temperature and, stays the same.
Yeah. You know, that's awesome.
And so you kind of hacked yours. You put a jacket on it to do the temperature better.
I did. I looked online. I talked to a couple people. I think the biggest thing is looking at, you know, the fact that the Australian original model is 2000 watts and ours is only 1600 because of the difference in, you know, the voltage of the two countries. They're going to get more, you know, energy out of it. And so to make up for that, I wanted to see if there was a discernible difference. Not to get nerdy, but I saved about 24 minutes on average,
right,
on heat up time, and that, and well, you know, I've only used it what like 12 times,
right?
But it was enough time for me. I also have another hack I didn't really tell you about, but I did. I got a, and I haven't tried it yet, but I can't wait to. I got an immersible kind of coil heater, that could probably save me another even. It's 1100 watts. It could save me probably another even 20 minutes. I should be able to get from my water temperature of 67 to about 140, 150. I should be able to do it. And I mean, we're talking probably 25 minutes, maybe.
Wow.
Which is really good.
And so you think you'll put the coil right in the water?
Yeah. I mean, the way I'm just
to get the temperature up quick.
Exactly. Just to get that up because then once it's there, then I can just exactly
hold it.
You know, but so it's been fun. And I really have not used my mash tons since I got this. And so, but yeah, this is so, I had no idea you guys were doing this right now.
It's
fate. Well, I had no idea they were here. It's not like I was waiting outside.
Well, and that's the other thing. It's like, oh, we're not going to be like Ronco. Look who's here. Look who's visiting.
That's awesome.
So you're going to give a presentation here on the 28th.
Yes. Yes.
You know what you're going to brew? Do you have a beer in mind?
I don't. I got to talk to my man, Sean, and figure out what we're going to do. I have a couple ideas. But I think that with this, I would like to probably brew something more simple. Because I want to be able to showcase, you know, I'm thinking like a particular smash beer I made before that was pretty good. We'll talk later. But yeah, so I'll let you know.
Sure. And that's the 28th, which is a Saturday.
Yes.
And it is, what, 2 o'clock? Is that our favorite time? Still?
I think it's noon. Yeah.
Oh, that's because it's
all grain.
It's all grain.
Yeah,
2
right.
o'clock for the extract, noon for all grain. So, and just plan to be here for 4 hours. And if you've never been to any of these events before, what's really cool about them is like, during the boil, everybody just kind of hangs out and talks about stuff and drinks beer. Like the actual amount of work of brewing, which is what attracts me to it, is maybe, I don't know, 40 minutes of doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And then like 4 hours of hanging around, or in this case, 3 hours of hanging around and just, you know, and just talking about beer and drinking beer and getting to know one another and getting to know like everybody's ins and outs and getting advice from one another and things like that. So if you haven't been, even if you haven't all grain brewed before, come in and hang out and see what it's like. And because it might be something that you might want to start doing, you know, you start with extract and then move. Cause is this sufficient for extract? You wouldn't recommend this for an extract brewer?
Could, but it's
overkill.
Very overpriced.
I'm sorry.
Oh yeah. It's a relatively expensive kettle, right, if you're going to use it just for that. So, I mean, you could get just a heating element in one of those for significantly cheaper. But so, no, it's not efficient, but you can do it.
Right. I've also done some partial extracts with it as well, and it's just as great.
And that's like a sugar bump. Is that the?
Basically, it's just, you know, the idea of I less pieces to me mean less things to worry about, and the fact that I can just, you know, stick some grains in, you know, set my temp, which is great at 150, stick my grains in for 25 minutes, pull it out, you know, let it ride and
then add some DME.
Add some DME right before boil. Yeah, it works great. It's been awesome. So I can't wait to show everybody. And in return, I would like some more advice. That's my big thing.
Yeah.
I'll show you what I know if you show me what you know. So
Right. Very cool. Well, awesome. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
We'll
thanks
see
a
you
lot.
On the 28th.
Sounds great.
We've got about 10 minutes left if you want to hang out. And then
buy some beer products.
Yes.
Thanks, Mike.
That's crazy.
That was incredibly awesome timing.
What are the odds, right? Well, I think he got really wound up yesterday when we were talking because he was talking about all the different things that he wanted to do. I'm looking now for the rest of the show. So I guess if we haven't convinced you now, we're probably not going to. So we're going to be moving right along.
You should definitely come out, though. I mean, if anything, there's food.
Yeah, there's always food. It's always so much fun. I'm sorry. The part that we left out is that you can use this in your house.
Yes.
You don't have to go outside in the rain and the snow. It's electric. So, I mean, when you say it's electric, you know that you plug it in or whatever. But you can use it inside. You don't need propane.
Yeah, and it's which is really, really good for a lot of people who don't have a garage like myself.
Right.
Or live in an apartment like myself where you don't have the space.
And don't work in a brew store.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that has kind of helped my
don't cry for him, Argentina.
But, yeah. But had I not worked here.
Right.
But no, I will have one. And that's...
Yeah.
We got it in. I was like, okay, I'm going to buy one when I get the house. And I'll probably still have a 10-gallon system just in case.
Right.
But...
Well, that's the other thing. It does about 8 gallons. So you're...
It maxes... Five-gallon batch maxes at 6 at the top.
Yeah, I know. The line goes to 8 is all.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, but you're...
You can't do 10.
Mm-mm. You can do probably about 6.5 gallons. But either way, personally, I'm the kind of person who I want, if I brew a beer, I want to brew a different beer every single time I brew.
Right.
I don't really have, I'm not that, I want 40 gallons of one beer.
Right.
So I like to keep it moving.
And I may eventually get one myself because my daughter is probably going to learn how to brew so she can make, beer and then distill it professionally because she wants to be a professional distiller.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. I mean,
that's so awesome.
Yeah. Your daughter's a lawyer. My daughter's a distiller.
Yeah.
So more stuff. We're going to get to the news real quick. Let's see if there's any news we want to talk about more than, this is one of the stories that I thought was interesting. Every couple weeks, another college announces that they have a brewing program, and I'm not against it at all. But you would expect that, like as with any of the other like crafts, you really have to. This is a job that you learn to do by doing it.
Oh, absolutely. There is occasionally, like if you come out of Siebel, the big Siebel course and all that, you could step into a brewing job, and be higher up the ladder.
Right.
But I think most brewers will tell you that you learn your equipment by doing. You learn a lot of theory in the schools, and
right.
That's great because it helps you become a better brewer. But when it comes to actually brewing, and that goes for just as much as a brewer can leave one brewery, go to another one, and it's just like starting over because nothing's the same.
Right? It's a 6-month learning curve.
Yep.
at the bottom. Mm-hmm. So. And the other thing I wanted to mention, and it was in the first story that was covered, Home Brewing, is that the Annapolis Home Brewers just had an event, in support of homeless pets.
Yeah.
But they shouted out Adam Davis, so we felt like we should too. Adam's a new brewer at Burley.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be at Backshore. He's a great guy. And
really nice guy.
Congratulations on the new job. Congratulations on the old job.
Very much.
I spoke with Danny Robinson this week for the State of the Beer podcast, mm-hmm. but the audio isn't any good, so you're not going to get to hear it.
Oh.
So I'll just tell you what he said. They probably have a new brewer as we speak. They were good. He was on the verge of hiring someone.
Ah, that's great news.
So we'll get a profile up on the new brewer at Backshore any day now, probably in the next week or so. And so last but not least, the story of Modelo. So just real quick, in case you're new to the story, when Budweiser wanted to buy Corona, which was owned by Grupo Modelo, the FTC stepped in and said, no, you can't, because it would make you too big. It would give you too much of the market share in the U.S.
Monopolization kind of thing.
So eventually they struck a deal that would spin Modelo off into its own kind of in the independent company in the US. Mm-hmm. And then every place else on the planet, Corona is owned by Bud. And so here they're talking about the company that owns them, which is Constellation Beverages.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of rang my bell about that is Constellation Beverages. And last week we talked about Firemen's. So there are there increasingly are these investment
firms.
Yeah, they're holding companies for breweries, and I don't have anything against them particularly, but it's something that I think we should at least start to think about as we are. You know, we're always. It was 10 years ago. It was easy. You stick your flag in the ground and say, "I only drink craft beer because I want to support the little guy."
Yeah,
and then two things happened. Some of the little guys got really big. And some of the other little guys got a little bit bigger and got kind of consolidated, not really bought by a bigger guy, but just consolidated into a group of little-ish guys that comprise a big guy.
Right.
And so before – I don't want to get too hipster about it, and I don't want to be like, well, now, you know, I'm not going to drink any beer that's owned by a – you know. I'm going to drink Dale's Pale Ale when I'm out of town. I'm not going to
I'm going to keep drinking Ballast Point.
Right. Owned by a large company. You know, as our motto is here, drink what you like and be happy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just want to remind everybody that, you know, go to the brewery, look in the brewer's face and buy that beer first. You know, try to buy the beer that's made. I always like to say within 100 miles, unless it's something, you know, if it's a special thing that you want to do.
I mean, I definitely 100%. Support all my local craft breweries. I do very actively seek
other beers.
Farther away beers too, but just because I want to try what everybody else has to offer. I do find myself reaching into the case and then pulling my hand back occasionally on some of the ones that I know are owned by big players, like mainly InBev and Miller Coors and stuff. If it's something I really, really want, I get it.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie. I mean, but at the same time, I'd rather sell to an investment or, you know, be a part of an investment firm than I would.
Yeah. And you wonder what's going to happen when they start to go against one another, because there's going to be, you know, there's probably going to be some sort of reckoning, and, you know, we'll be covering it here. Obviously
you'll see it here. Probably 12th, yes.
Speaking of which, we didn't not know about the America thing. We just decided not to talk about it because it's boring.
The Budweiser cans?
Yeah. So, I mean,
America.
I don't think we need to come out strongly one way or another on that. I think everybody knows where everybody stands.
Yeah.
And we're gonna call that a show. Gentle reminder, there is an All Grain Brewing here on the 28th of May. I know we talked about it a lot. I want to talk about it some more. I think it's a cool thing. I hope to be able to come out, and I hope you guys are able to come out as well. Any other events?
Yes.
Oh, yes. We were talking about it yesterday.
This summer's or spring, summer 2016 homebrew competition that we're doing here at the shop. This year is Drink Your Wheaties.
I saw that this morning. It was great.
Looking for wheat beers. We're going to take 25 entries. First prize, I think, is $75. Second prize is 50. Third is 25. Only rule, must be at least 40% wheat. Have your beers in, I think we're saying by the 1st of June. Check out Extreme Brewing, or facebook.com/Extreme Brewing. I got all the information up there as well.
And
one other shout out. I don't know if this is a place for it, but I'm going to do it anyway. In case you guys didn't know, we have partnered with Salisbury Roller Girls. We made a beer for them. They came out, brewed with us, bottled it up and everything. Well, one of the young ladies who helped us with that has actually gotten hurt. There is a GoFundMe link on Extreme Brewing Facebook page. If you don't mind going there, if you can help out, at least share it. That'd be awesome. Thanks.
Very cool. And as always, you can find everything you need to know about us on extremebrewing.com, extremebrewing.com, or extremebrewing.com. You can find me socially at my name backwards, which is OSSURYNOT. I am meanest on Twitter. And...
oh, you can find me at ShaunAtExtremeBrewing.com or, like I said, Facebook, facebook.com/extremebrewing with an X. And I think that's it.
Yeah, I'm waiting for you to say that to say the outline.
Oh, drink what you like and be happy.
Drink what you like and be happy. We'll see you, folks.
See ya.
Beer with Strangers is recorded at Extreme Brewing in Laurel, Delaware. For more information about the show and for beer news and commentary, visit stateofthebeer.com, where you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes and follow along on whichever social network you're least likely to ignore. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. The state of the beer is strong.